Hello and welcome to our podcast.
We are scouts from the 27th Cambridge, and in this podcast we'll be talking about scouting skills, patrol points and the recent camps and hikes we've done.
One of our most recent camps was District Camp.
So the main focus of this camp was to complete one badge. So the different badges we had were survival skills, first aid, astronautics, pioneering and a few others.
The badges lasted for the whole day. I did first aid, and in first aid we learned about CPR, choking and how to help people in danger. The instructor taught us on how to use defibrillators by putting two plates on the person's body and pressing the start button, and once the electricity hits the human, you start doing CPR. So you do 30 pumps and then three mouth to mouths, and then you repeat it a few times until the machine says to do another shock.
To help us with what we were doing, we used these dolls called Anne. So we had a little Anne, which was half a body, and a baby Anne. So we used these to help us with CPR and choking. On the second day, we were meant to do a hike, but that got cancelled because the weather was really bad. And it was going to be an incident hike, so we just did the incidents around the campsite. So some of the activities we did, we had a quiz, and we were trying to cut matchsticks in half. We also had a CPR base and a place where we had to make stretches.
Now I will be talking about what I did on expedition camp. So, I arrived at Cambridge train station at 10 o'clock for the 10:26 train to Broxbourne. There are six patrols in total in our scout troop, and only five patrols made it on the train. That was because Cobra couldn't make it, and then we were leaving the station just as they arrived. So it was about an hour's journey, and when we got to Broxbourne, we were all got through the barrier, and then we were separated off into groups to navigate up to the campsite. So it took us around an hour, but a lot of patrols got lost. For example, Falcon, Cobra, Wolf, and others to name a few. We did get lost at one point, but not for long. And thankfully, we were the first patrol to make it to the campsite. We started setting up our camp by putting up one tent for the boys and one tent for the girls. And then we also decided where we were going to do our cooking and get out our cooking utensils. We prepared what we were going to have for dinner that night beforehand, and our patrol was going to have sausages, mash and baked beans.
So my patrol also went. For our meal, we made fajitas. So we had wraps with pepper, sweet corn, carrots and salsa.
In the evening, we played games like Manhunt and Capture the Flag. There would be two teams and we'd hide the flags in the forest. There was a blue team and a red team. And unfortunately for me, blue team won. I spent my time just walking around, doing nothing, pretty much. So you can thank the other players of my team for helping me out. Not including Esme, because she was doing nothing as well.
Also, sometimes our scouts help out in our local community, which is Cherry Hinton. Recently, we've done lots of things like helping out at the church and doing litter picking. Previously, on Saturdays, we've gone in groups litter picking. So everyone will have one of the litter pickers and someone will have the bag, and we've gone around the whole village doing this.
We are now going to interview our local vicar, Karen. So, what has the church, Cherry Hinton Church, done for the local community?
Ah, gosh, it depends where you want to start the story. I mean, it's been in the local community at least since 1201. So, over that 800-900 years, probably done quite a lot of different things. But mainly it's been a place, it's a place where the local people can come in times of trouble, in times of sadness, times of joy, celebrate things, get married, funerals, baptisms. we've got a new strap line at the moment. We're calling it Space for God in Sherry Hinton. It's like it holds open that space in our community. So whatever you think about God, that's a space you could come to kind of explore God. And also, I guess it holds a lot of memories for people. So, you know, you get people coming and saying, oh, you know, my parents were married here, my grandparents are buried in the churchyard, and I want to get my kid christened here, because it's like a place of continuity. It holds a community together. And that's what a local parish church that's been here for a very long time kind of can do. I guess the other thing you guys all experienced 2 weeks ago at Remembrance was the coming together of the whole, well, not the whole community, but people interested in remembering and honoring those who gave their lives for our country. And, you know, the audience there afterwards, I talked to a lady whose son had been killed in a war. I talked to an older guy who was in tears because every Remembrance Day he remembers all his friends who got killed in the Second World War. And so, you know, that's an important thing the church does, to bring people together to remember stuff.
So, how long have you been vicar for?
So, I've been in Sherry Hinton for 3+ years. I'm starting my 4th year here. I've been a vicar for about 9 years.
So, what about the churchyard in Sherry Hinton?
Yeah, the churchyard in Sherry Hinton is quite a special place because, you know, it's in the middle of a really busy community, but it's like an oasis of, I think, peace and calm. It's the biggest churchyard in this part of the country. It's one of the biggest in England. So it's a big thing for us because it takes a lot of work to keep it, you know, the weeds and the grass under control, keep everything looking good. As you guys know, we need a lot of help with that. So sometimes we've asked the scouts to come and help us on churchyard clear-up days, and we've been really grateful because you guys can do so much so quickly, especially the things like bagging all the leaves or planting lots of bulbs. I think some of you came along recently to do an environmental day in the churchyard. And our churchyard is, increasingly, we want to make it really environmentally friendly so that small mammals like hedgehogs can find a nice home there. We're working with a hedgehog charity at the moment, and we've just got a grant to spend more money kind of putting in the kind of plants that will attract insects, that are the kind of insects they eat, and will attract more bees and butterflies, bird houses, hedgehog houses, bat houses. So trying to make it a really green space for our community. And obviously it's also a very profound space because a lot of people come there to remember those they've lost and tend their graves and just kind of grieve. I probably could spend pretty much my whole time, if I had enough time, just walking around the churchyard talking to people who are standing there sadly missing somebody and feeling lonely. So the churchyard has its own life. A weird kind of, I suppose it's kind of, not weird, but it's a certain kind of life around remembering the dead. And we want to fill it with animal life, plant life, you know, something positive as well.
And I'd just like to ask, what are they doing to the church with those construction things?
Oh, yeah,
are,
yeah,
are
yeah.
They, so like, refurbishing it or...?
Yeah, so that's a good question. It's, as I said, it's a really old church. It's built out of a stone called clunch, which is the reason Sherry Hinton's here, actually, because we sit on a big seam of clunch, and a sort of community grew up of stone masons and quarriers. So if you've ever ridden your bikes along the snaky path of the Tins, you see those lakes. Those used to be old clunch quarries, or the lime kiln. That area was clunch. So anyway, they built this church out of clunch. It's a great stone, apart from it. It doesn't wear very well on the outside. So what people have done in the past is to try to put like really hard stone around it to keep it from the weather. And then that traps the water inside, and it's made our church quite damp. So a lot of the work we've had done is actually taking away cement that was used in mortar or plaster or just cement on the outside of the church, just to get rid of that so the church can breathe. Because those clunch stones, they're quite interesting because they like soak in the water and then they let the water out when it's dry. So we're trying to get the church back to a more organic state, actually. And we've had a grant to do that. And hopefully, I think it's working. Feels a lot less damp in the church at the moment already. But we're hoping the church will be able to breathe. So you can't see a lot of benefit from it, but you can sort of feel it in your bones. It's not so damp in there. And what it means is that the church won't fall down, basically. We got the money because the church was going to fall down if we didn't do that repair. So it's very good news for Cherry Hinton that we've had that money spent on that building, because it's obviously the oldest building in Cherry Hinton, and it's the only very nice building we've got in this part of Cambridge. So we want to keep it looking and feeling as good as possible. Yeah. So they're nearly done. They're just working on some more drainage ditches, and then they'll do a few more bits in the spring. At the moment, they've had to pretty much stop because there's a limit to how much of that work you can do when it's frosty, because the water freezes and breaks up new mortar.
And I'd just like to know, has the church always been like that, or has it over time had extra parts added to it?
Yeah, no, it's always changing, you know, in a way. I mean, they say it's been there since 1201, but that's only the tower, or parts of the tower that have been there. And all the parts of it have kind of been restored at different points. If you read the history of the church, it's like times when the church is going up and people are building stuff and renovating it, and then times when it's completely neglected. I mean, there were times when it was just used as part of it was like a rubbish dump, and other writers come in like 16th century and say, my gosh, this church is falling apart, it's all damp, it's all moldy. And then somebody comes along and kind of fixes it up and gets it going again. So obviously, I don't know if you know much about the Reformation, but Henry VIII, he came through a lot of churches and smashed stuff up, turning it, you know, there's certain things they didn't like, so it got smashed up. It used to have stained glass windows. It used to be painted all in the inside. That was all kind of defaced and smashed up in the Reformation. So it's had quite a lot of, you know, change. But on the other hand, parts of it have been there for an extremely long time and haven't changed.
And is being a vicar, like, basically your job? Like, that's how you get paid, that's how you get food?
Yeah. Yeah, it is basically a way. It's a job. You could be a vicar, if you wanted. We're sitting here now, doing this in the vicarage, which belongs to the Church of England, and not me. So all the vicars live here, and we have to live in the parish so that we can be on hand for things like this, or people visiting, or you know, tomorrow we'll have a lot of teenagers here for breakfast. So we use this house as part of what we do. And vicars, you could train to be a vicar. You have to feel called to be a vicar. You can't just decide, I want to be a vicar. You have to feel this sense of, this is really what I was born to do. It's one of those jobs you have to really believe in, because it's a very hard job and you don't get paid very much. So you have to really want to do it. But it's a great job because you get to know everybody in the community, some very well, some not so well, but you kind of get to talk to lots of different people. People let you into their lives a bit, and sometimes you feel you can make a difference.
So how does the church help with schools around the area?
Right, so we have four primary schools in Cherry Hinton in this parish. And I go into all four, do assemblies. Sometimes I take my dog and get to know the teachers a little bit, the heads, so that, you know, if there were like a big problem in one of the schools, somebody died or something terrible happened, I hope they'd feel they know me, they could call me to come in and help out in some way. But there's a law, education law, that says everybody's supposed to have a religious assembly every day in primary school. So we help the schools to fulfill that law by coming in and doing a sort of broadly Christian assembly. So I do assemblies in all the schools. I do a little bit more in the Church of England school, Cherry Hinton Primary, because that is a Church of England school, so so I'm in there a bit more. I'm chair of governors there, do a lot of work actually as a chair of governors. And we also host schools in our church, so almost all the schools, I think all of them, have come in to do like RE lessons in looking around the church or local history lessons. A group came in last year to look at, they were learning about the Anglo-Saxons. And we sit on the pretty much on the site of a very old Anglo-Saxon settlement that was in this part of the village a long time ago. So we talked about that. Schools have their harvest festivals and their carol services, their nativities, Mothering Sunday services, Christ Dingle service. We do a lot of services just for schools. And that's fun. It's fun to have, you know, the whole school in. And it's nice for the schools because it's a big space. Like it's probably the only space in Cherry Hinton where you get a whole school plus all the parents and all the teachers together. So it's nice to use it that way.
And what would be your most favourite part of being a vicar and your least favourite part?
Oh gosh, that's hard. I do love the school stuff. I really like, you know, going into schools and having schools come into the church, getting to know all the kids. I love the fact that when I walk around Cherry Hinton, pretty much all the kids in Cherry Hinton know who I am and will say hi. And that makes me feel like, I hope it makes you feel that way, but it makes me feel like we live in a community instead of just a bunch of random people who happen to live in the same place. That there are a few faces that everybody knows, and that helps everybody feel more connected. And I think that sense of creating community is my favourite part of being a vicar, because actually it's really hard in this day and age, and also in this part of Cambridge, because it's a very diverse group of people live here. We don't all speak the same language, we don't all believe the same things, we don't all live here for very long. Some people only here for a very short time and then they move on. So creating any sense of belonging or neighbourhood or community is hugely challenging. And I think we're lucky in Cherry Hinton at the moment, because we actually have some really good people, like the people that run your scouts and stuff, who are really committed to trying to make community in this place. And hopefully scouts are part of that, right? You know, you guys are part of that, trying to create a sense of belonging, a sense of, we're all in it together. We're not just isolated and alone. And one thing we have started, I started when I came here, was the year six graduation, which all the year sixes in Cherry Hinton come together, get their cherry and their, in a sense that, you know, as they go off to secondary school, they still belong to Cherry Hinton and this is still their home. And they can still talk to, there's still adults around to talk to if you need to, people who would care about you. So I love that part of the job. Challenges are really mostly around things like administration and organization for me, not my strengths. And there's just a whole lot of time I spend at the computer, actually, just dealing with questions and emails and regulations and risk assessments and all sorts of stuff like that, that anybody running an organization will be familiar with. Safeguarding, lots of safeguarding regulations to do, things to do like that. So that's very time consuming, and it keeps me kind of stuck in here in my study instead of out there in the community where I'd like to be more.
And do you have a certain like time limit of being a vicar of Cherry Hinton, or can you stay as long as you want, or just the previous vicar, from what I know, Father Barry, I think his name was, he had to leave, but I personally didn't know why, so I just wondered.
Yeah, so vicars, we can sort of determine how long we stay, usually, and so most people tend to do, like, I think Father Barry did 10 years, and then you think, well, it's probably time to try another church or do something new, and that's probably kind of normal time to spend in one place. Some people spend more, some people spend a little bit less. But we don't get moved around in the sense that we can decide, like we can see an ad for a vicar job somewhere else and say, oh yeah, I think I'll try for that. Just like any other job, really. But yeah, I tend to be here for a good long time.
Speaking of which, how long would you stage maybe like stay around? Do you have a plan, or do you just like to go with
The flow?
Yeah, go with flow. Yeah.
I kind of both. I do have a plan. I mean, I think I'll basically, I'm kind of old, so I quite like to stay here till I retire. But the question is, when do you retire? Because whereas everyone used to retire maybe 60, maybe 65, nowadays it's you can kind of stay on a lot longer. So you just have to see how long you're enjoying it, how long you feel pretty healthy. So yeah, I'm pretty much planning to stay here till I retire, but I'm not quite sure when that will be.
So, what do divisions do when they retire?
Yeah, well, I mean, you can do kind of what you want, but basically, most vicars end up working till they die in some way or another because they just work less and for no money. Because churches really need vicars, and there aren't enough of us. And so, you often find when you retire, there's some really interesting work you can do. You don't have to do all the stuff that I have to do at the moment with buildings and being chair of governors and running all sorts of things. But you can maybe specialize. So some retired vicars, they specialize in just doing like counseling of people who need help or who just preach or who just do funerals or who just do weddings. So that's kind of fun. You know, you think about what you could specialize in instead of having to do every part of the job once you retire.
And are vicars the only people who, like, get their own house, like we're sitting in right now, or do other people, like, get other special...
So vicars are... So we don't get paid very much, but we do get a house. So that's kind of the trade-off, okay? And then sometimes churches have some other houses. So we have a curate, Reverend Ruth, who's training with us. So one of the things I do is I'm training her to be a vicar. She's like an apprentice vicar now. And she also gets a house in Cherry Hinton. She lives up in the animal estate area, Eland Way. And so there's a house there for a curate. But basically, you know, it's the full-time. If you're full-time, you get a house. And then there's lots of people who do, they might be a vicar, but also do another kind of job. And they do part-time sort of vicaring, and then they do another kind of job, and they would live in their own houses. Just, yeah.
And I'm assuming people like bell ringers, for example, they're just volunteers who help with the church.
Okay, that's right. There's tons of volunteers who help with the church, right? So so basically, I get paid, the curate gets paid, and the administrator gets paid a little bit. But everybody else is volunteering, and lots of people do lots of different jobs in the church, really important things. Bell ringers, teachers of leaders of Forest Church, teachers of Children's Church, people run coffee mornings, and people run groups that help people who are bereaved and go visiting people that need, you know, are shut in their homes. They do all sorts of things that just as part of their desire to help and to care for the community. It's almost expected that, I suppose, if you're a really active member of the church, that you're doing some kind of volunteer stuff. Yeah.
How often would you say you like work in the church? As you might say, like, so people have a 9-to-5 job, for example, so they'd go to work and then they'd come home and stay.
Yeah.
Do you like have a certain time to where you go to the church and help, or is it like on and off? Depending on what's happening.
It's the latter. It's on and off depending on what's happening. So no, what's kind of fun about my job is that I don't do the same thing every day. And it's always different. So every day has its own pattern in a way. Obviously, I'm always there Sunday morning because there's always church Sunday morning. And there's certain other services that I'm always there for. But, you know, one day you might have a funeral, so you'll be over there for that. One day you might have a meeting there. Sometimes I'm elsewhere and out and about. So it's kind of interesting and hard to remember always what you're supposed to do and where you're supposed to be. I have to keep checking my diary to make sure I'm in the right place.
Can you have any holidays? So, like, let's say you maybe saved up enough money, could you, like, go somewhere?
Yeah, sure. So we get... So I work 6 days a week, which is quite a lot. I do about 60 hours in that 6 days, quite a full-on job. But I get 6 weeks holiday a year, so I make sure I take that so I don't burn out and go away. I usually have to go away to really relax, because if I stay in Cherry Hinton, it still kind of feels like I'm working, just because people will be talking to me and stuff. But yeah, it's I definitely get away.
So what would happen if you were to like go away on holiday? Would there be someone else who covers for you, or
Closed? Or? No, we'd never close it. I have to organize the cover. But because there's a curate now who's an assist, who's learning to be a priest, and there's also, I've also got two people who, remember I said there's some priests who do other jobs or they're retired and they help out. I've got two priests like that. So I'm really lucky. I can get away pretty easily because they can take over when I'm gone. They help out quite a lot every week, really. So we can do lots of different things on a Sunday. And it's not just me doing everything.
So, on your holidays, have you ever been anywhere like abroad, like far, as you might say? So maybe like, for example, Australia?
Never been to Australia. I'd really like to go. So you probably can tell from my accent that I'm from America. That means all my family are still there. So I tend to go to America, tend to spend most of our money going there, which... It's great to see your family, but sometimes you wish you could go to Australia. But most of the time and money, I tend to go there. So my parents are there, my brother's there, lots of other relatives. So we go to the States a lot. We go about once a year. And then I've been all over Europe on holidays. And I've traveled before I was a vicar. I would travel sometimes on business to the Far East. Japan, China, Hong Kong, Vietnam. So I feel like I've done a lot of traveling, which is good. It's great to see the world. It's great to get out there.
Is the system the same for churches and vicaries in America as it is in the UK?
Pretty much. It's got some differences, but yeah, it's pretty much the same. And so I could, if I wanted to, work in a church that was kind of in partnership with the Church of England. There are churches like that all over the world, and I could go and work somewhere else. So I might do that when I retire, go and work in Australia or New Zealand or the States. That would be fun.
So if you wanted to work, let's say, for example, in a church in America, but it wasn't with the Church of England, would you be allowed to do that, or would you have to,
the Episcopal Church in America, is sort of aligned with the Church of England, so I could work in that church. If I wanted to work in another kind of church, I'm not sure, actually, whether they'd make me do, I don't know, additional training. Probably not. I'd probably just need to satisfy them that I could be, a good vicar in their tradition, their form of Christianity. Because every there's all sorts of different ways you can be a Christian, and there's different ways of doing it. And so that's why we have different, denominations. Some, of course, I couldn't work in all Christian churches, because a lot of them don't let women be vicars, right? So I couldn't work in a Roman Catholic church, for instance, as a vicar, or an Orthodox church as a vicar. And there's some Protestant churches I couldn't work in either, just simply because I'm a woman.
And we're now going to wrap up the interview with the vicar. And so thank you, Karen, for letting us interview you. And we'll...
Well, come again anytime. It's been great chatting to you. Thanks so much. Thanks for...
You're welcome.
..for your great questions.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. We've been doing this as part of our media relations badge in Scout, so the other groups will be releasing theirs shortly.